I bet there's some of you sitting here right now saying, why does the preacher have to get up and talk? And that's a very good question. Pull out your outline. We're just going to spend, I promise you, a few minutes and walk through one simple scripture. You know, Christmas is a really big deal. First of all, I want to thank the choir. Didn't they do a great job? I mean, that was wonderful. And if you're not in the Christmas mood now, talk to me afterwards. Well, you know, I'll pray for you because, you know. And then I just want you to know that Megan Ireley and Kate at the piano, that was, oh, Fairborn. Oh, she got married. Excuse me. All right. I heard that song last year in the season, but too late to bring it. I just love that song and the lyrics. So she was very gracious to do that for me and hopefully for you as well, right? So, hey, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 is what we're going to look at. It's the top of your outline. Some stats about Christmas and how what big deal it is in America. 29 million rolls and sheets of wrapping paper are used. 17 million packages of tags and bows, 372 million greeting cards. How many of you send out greeting cards? Some of you more than one, I bet. Yeah, so. 35 million Christmas trees. Now, I don't know if that includes the fake ones or the real ones or what, but anyway, 35 million Christmas. So the point is, in America, Christmas is a big business, and it's a big deal in that sense. But if you know Christ as your Savior, if you know what the Bible teaches, then you're very aware that that's actually not the purpose of Christmas. It's not the reason for the season. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Two women were at a very nice, fancy restaurant and having a lunch. And a friend of theirs happened to come by and ask them, boy, what's the special occasion you two here? And one of the ladies said, well, I'm celebrating my baby boy's birthday. And she said, well, where's he? And she said, well, you don't think I'd bring him with me, do you? And as funny as that sounds, there's a whole lot of people that celebrate Christmas and leave the baby out. And it's easy to do. And so Paul talks in 1 Corinthians, he gives us a succinct description of Christmas and Jesus that I want you to see. Top of your outline, 1 Corinthians 8, 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. How many of you would love to be rich? I would. We already are. Well, that's the point of Paul right here. That's right. So, I want to walk through this briefly with you. The person, the name first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord in Greek is kurios, but what's unique about this in this sense is that in the Old Testament, Jesus showed up with Moses, and Moses said when he asked Moses to rescue the people of Israel from slavery, Moses said, well, who should I tell them has sent me? Jesus gave his, what was considered his personal name, Yahweh. So in the Old Testament, when the Jewish scribes would write down the text and came to that name, they would never say it out loud, or they would never write it. They would replace it with the word Adonai, which translated Lord. So here's Paul, grew up as a Jew, understands the Jewish faith, understands the terms, and he calls Jesus Yahweh, God. And in your outline there, if you aren't used to being here, I give blanks to keep you awake. So the first one is, Lord means God. And that's exactly what Paul's intent is in the text. The second one is, Lord Jesus. The word Jesus, simply translated Savior, when the angel showed up with Joseph in the book of Matthew, is recorded in the book of Matthew. This is what he says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall have a son. You are to name him Jesus. Why? Why name him Jesus? Why not John or Joe or something else? For he will save his people from their sins. The term Jesus or the name Jesus, it has this implication idea of saving or rescuing. A tragedy hit our country years ago. Remember 9/11? And the Twin Towers? And you can't rescue someone unless you go where they are. And so all these first responders ran into those Twin Towers, risking their lives, and some of them lost their lives. Why? Because the people they wanted to rescue were in the tower. And so they needed to go where they were in order to rescue them from the danger. That's the idea of a savior, a rescuer. God came down where we are to rescue us. Third name, the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah. It literally means the anointed one, coming from the Old Testament, where God promises he will send his anointed one to rescue the Israelites initially. And so he sends this Messiah. Every Jew understood that when the anointed one come, there was going to be victory. And that's what I want you to see in your outline there. It means victory. And Jesus on the cross said, what? It is finished. I have done everything that needs to be done to bring victory, to rescue people. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a powerful title and powerful name. Look what it says in Colossians 2, 14 and 15. He canceled the record of the charges, talking about Jesus, against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. This is, of course, talking about the spiritual need that we have and God's dealing with our sin and wanting to have a relationship with him, the victory through Christ. Then in Hebrews chapter 7, it says, but because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. So he's talking about this idea of priesthood and Jesus being the high priest. Therefore, he's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. This isn't a short-term thing. This isn't a temporary thing. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says in the text, you know, the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the foundational motivation, if you will, the action that God produced, grace. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In your outline there, I have grace, meaning showing kindness or favor towards someone. Christmas screams grace. Christmas is the ultimate initial declaration of the grace of God. The incredible thing about God's grace is this. The fundamental idea behind grace is showing kindness or favor towards someone who doesn't deserve it and hasn't earned it. Let's say that I hire someone to mow my lawn. My son, when he was at home, he did it. It was wonderful. And then the day he went away to college, I cried because now, you know. So I hire someone to mow my lawn, and after a while, you know, comes every week or every other week and mows and trims. And then after a while, I get a call from that person saying, hey, I broke my leg, and I'm not going to be able to mow your lawn for a few weeks. And so I go out there, and I mow the lawn, and I pay him. Didn't earn it, doesn't deserve it, but I do it anyway. Why? Grace, kindness, showing favor, showing generosity. The text says, you know, the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, look what it says in your outline. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. That's what grace is. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Then Paul uses two terms that we're all familiar with and all can relate to. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. As one author put it, grace could be defined as God's riches at Christ's expense. So Jesus humbled himself and came to earth. God sent his son so that we could have a relationship with the living God. He left heaven so that we could go to heaven. He came down in time and space. Jesus, Son of God, who lives forever, came down in time and space and let his creation kill him so that we could have life everlasting. That's grace. The Almighty God of the universe doing this for all of us, offering this to all of us. The scholars call that the incarnation, God becoming human flesh. The Bible says, Emmanuel, God is with us. He goes on in the text, in the verse there, he says, so that by his poverty he may make you rich. John 10:10, Jesus put it this way, I've come they may have life and have it to the full. Romans 8 says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously, there's grace, give us all things? There's a very, very wealthy man, And some of his friends, they would go out, and when they go out, they notice, his friends notice that he would, anytime he found a penny, he was really happy, and he'd pick down and pick up the penny. It didn't matter if it was shiny or dingy, it didn't matter. And they noticed that he seemed to have one eye always looking for pennies. Now, this guy was very wealthy. So one time his friend finally said, "I don't get this. You're very, very wealthy, and yet you seem so thrilled to find a penny on the sidewalk." And this is how he explained it to them. He said, "Each penny reminds me of where my true value and trust lies, because on each penny it says, 'In God we trust.'" He says, "You see, my value is not in my riches and my possessions. It's in the one who possesses me." That's Christmas. That's the grace of God, bringing to the table the opportunity for us to possess Christ, so that by his poverty he can be made rich. Now, at the beginning of the sentence, in the verse, he starts off with, "You know." And that word "know" is not just an intellectual, "Yeah, I got the information." It's experiential by nature. It's "you know." It's stating that you have a high level of experiential confidence because of what God's done in your life. You know the generous graciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know it. You've experienced it in your life. Romans 8, 16 and 17 say this, "For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we're his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we're heirs of God's glory." So the word I want to use in that blank there is, "you know," it means assurance, or you could say confidence, a high level of confidence. If you've been to the airport, right? You have a ticket. Now, there's a difference between someone who has a ticket and someone who's standby. Now, if you have a ticket, you go, you wait, you sit, you read the paper, you grab a snack, you talk to your friend, you're very relaxed, just waiting for them to tell you can get on the plane. If you're standby, what are you doing? You're pacing. You're standing over by the counter, hoping that you can get on. "You know" is you have a ticket. "You know" says, "I know. I have a ticket. I'm guaranteed a seat." Well, the illustration falls apart at that point, but you get my point, right? A high level of confidence. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. "And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." Why? "So that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may walk through life knowing you have a ticket. And Jesus purchased it for you. And he gave it to you. And you're guaranteed a seat in heaven. You know that you have eternal life." And that's what he's saying to these that he's writing to. He says, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know how he became poor so that you could become rich. You know that he provided all that for you." Now, the last one I want you to notice is this word, "our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a term of fellowship. It's a term of connectedness. It's a term of belonging. He is now, because through Jesus, God is now our Father, my Father, our Father, who have Christ in our life. And so we're a community of people who know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're a community of people who know that Jesus became poor so we could become rich. We're a community of people that know he's provided all this for us. So we have a ticket. We're not standby. We have a ticket. And we have a seat in heaven. And we know that. Why? Because of the gracious grace of Lord, God, Savior, Victor, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says this, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and always members of his household." Patrick Henry was one of our founding fathers, and near the end of his life, this is what he wrote. "I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that, and I had not given them a single shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I'd given them the whole world, they would be poor indeed." What does Paul say? "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you? Do you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. He came down to earth. Philippians talks about him coming down to earth, taking on the form of a human being, and willing to die. So that in his poverty, by his poverty, you may be rich. Christmas is all about Jesus. It's all about his birth. And then we extend to his life, and then we extend to his death, and then we extend to his resurrection. And all of that screams grace. The generosity of God Almighty, the love of God Almighty, to show favor on mankind and say, let me rescue you. Let me provide a way for you to relate with me and live with me forever in heaven. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the beginning of that whole process of Jesus' life here. And we are very, very grateful and humbled by this incredible truth. I want us to have a prayer together, and then we're going to sing a couple songs to celebrate Christmas together, and we'll stand and do those together. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for this simple, profound, incredible truth. I just pray that every one of us in this room know the grace, the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was rich became poor so that we who are poverty-stricken spiritually might have life in his name, might be given everything that God has to offer through his son Jesus, might have a ticket and have confidence, knowing our destiny is secure because of Jesus. I pray this Christmas is one of those times when we truly are overflowing with joy, thrilled with all that Jesus has done for us, who he is, and what he continues to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.